Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
I wanted to just kick off our new series by talking about what the antidote or who the antidote is as we talk about Jesus Christ. But before I get into today's message and today's word, I wanted to just also acknowledge all of you who are watching this, and a special shout out to my Every Nation Brisbane family, both in Logan and from our central locations as well. And shout out to Every Nation Logan. Hope you're all doing well out there on the south side. And of course, my central family. Usually at this time, we would be meeting at Queensland Multicultural Centre, and then later on, we would be meeting at Chrismead. But I'm glad you're here, because we are the church, right? We've been talking about how God has not called us necessarily to go to church, but to be the church. So I'm glad you could join us here today. And also for my Every Nation Brisbane family, and welcoming everybody else that's here. So today we're in the scriptures. Again, the series is called Antidote. By the way, my name is Nelly. I'm the senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane. And we're going to go to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 14. And it starts off by saying, the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" But he remained silent and made no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." And the high priest tore his garments and said, "What further witnesses do we need? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?" And they all condemned him as deserving death. As some began to spit on him, and to cover his face to strike him, saying to him, "Prophesy." And the guards received him with blows. God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. And Lord, even as we're moving towards celebrating the death, burial, and indeed the resurrection, which is the center of our faith this morning, God, we want to pray, Lord, that you would open the hearts of those who are watching this and listening to this. Lord, that you would enable them to get a deep sense of what your Holy Spirit is speaking to them with regards to the antidote that you bring through your Son, Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So everybody, the title of my message here today is The Cross and Crown. We're talking about Jesus Christ, who is the King, and at the same time, the sacrifice. Now, I wanted to introduce you to a man I got to know about just over a week ago, and he is Tim. And he took over the Twitter account of the National Cowboy Museum. Yes, there's an actual National Cowboy Museum in the United States. So this is Tim, and he is the head security for what's called the Cowboy. That's the name of that's what they call the museum. And he was asked to take over the Twitter handle of the museum, but had no idea how to use Twitter, which was quite funny. And you see on the screen the picture of Tim, what he looked like, and you know, he even says at the end of this tweet, "Thanks, Tim, send." And then he goes to look as to how to use Twitter. So of course, like anyone would do, you try to Google how to use Twitter. But the thing is, he used Twitter to figure out how to use Twitter, and typed in "Twitter tips, please." And then he recognized and typed into Twitter, "Sorry, I thought I was Googling that. Thanks, Tim." He decides to go around the museum, and as he's walking around the museum, he sees this hat and this eye patch, which were worn by the Duke, many of you know John Wayne, in the original True Grit, and they're part of the exhibition. But I love the end part of this tweet where he starts to hashtag, he writes the word hashtag John Wayne. "Lucas, my grandson, told me to use hashtags. Thanks, Tim." Like, he always signs off like it's a letter. And then he finds this in the museum. "Thanks for all the tips, friends. I realize that I've been doing hashtags wrong. I need to use that pound sign from the phone. I'm learning." How many of you are learning how to use technology? And here's this costume from True Grit, the same movie, 1969, courtesy of John Wayne Enterprises. Hashtag, hashtag John Wayne. Thanks, Tim. So he's still figuring it out. So he's starting to get the hang of it, right? And he starts to loosen up with his dad humor, and he decides to, you know, tweet this. This is a picture of the chaps, right? Want to borrow some lip balm? You're looking kind of chapped. Lucas, my grandson, didn't think it was that funny, but I think you guys will. Hashtag the cowboy. Thanks, Tim. And some of his grandkids start to tell him about this new app called TikTok. You're getting good at Twitter, granddad. Why don't you use TikTok? So he decides to take a picture of a clock. And he says, someone suggested I post a TikTok. It just gets worse because then a guy named Seth from marketing tells him, hey, you need to take a photo from the selfie station. He takes a photo of the selfie station rather than taking it from the selfie station. And so, of course, they're telling him, hey, that's not how you do. That's not how you take a photo at the selfie station. That's where you're supposed to stand to take the photo. And so what does he do? Instead of standing, positioning himself to take the selfie of the exhibit, he takes a photo of himself at the actual selfie station. So it just goes on and on. Like, his non-knowledge of how to use Twitter just becomes quite hilarious. It's a hilarity that people are looking for in a time of turmoil, because you'll notice that these are actually posted very recently. And here's some of the comments that he got. You'll see this one from last week. Tim, I'm not ashamed to tell you, you're the only hope. You're the thing that keeps us going. It's tough out here. May your resolve be strong, your hat mighty. It takes a special man to fill those boots, and we believe in you. Later on in the week, this message came through. Hi, Tim. I'm an OK. OK is short for Oklahoma. History teacher in Southwest Oklahoma. I think part of the distance learning for high school students will be to follow you. Follow what you are doing with this awesome museum and see that what they can learn. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being here. People are crying out for someone who will be there. This was the most telling tweet that I saw in the comments. This came from Lily Shulver, and she writes, this is the content we need right now. When I saw this tweet, this was really quite telling, that at this time, people are looking for anything they can to grip onto that would resemble hope. Many of you who might be on Instagram may have heard about DJ D-Nice, who's a legendary figure in hip-hop, and did what he called club quarantine, playing old school R&B jams for like 8 hours on his Instagram. And almost a million people throughout the week, I think it's over a million people, tuned in at different times just to listen and dance and be able to just forget about their troubles and dance to some classic R&B and disco and hip hop and that sort of stuff. People are looking to grab onto whatever they can, whether it's humor. But how many of you know that these things will only soothe our souls momentarily? People are looking for whatever they can to grip onto at this time to bring them hope. In fact, this is a prophetic image that I got earlier this week as I was praying for all of you and praying for different people who may engage in this broadcast, that as an abseiler tries to grip onto the crags of an almost vertical cliff face, so it is with us right now. And we find ourselves trying to grip onto anything we can when Jesus Christ is the one that we're called to grip onto. Now, let's be real. It's easy for me to flippantly say, hey, you need to grip onto Jesus. But like, I'm reminded, okay, of a song that came out actually when I was 12 years old. This is how old I am, okay? A song by the group U2. And many of you will remember this song. It's actually based, I believe Bono was saying that it was based on the book of Ecclesiastes. And he writes here, I believe in the kingdom come, then all the colors will bleed into one. But yes, I'm still running. You broke the bonds and you loosened chains. You carried the cross of my shame. You know I believe it. But here's the caveat. He still says, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. It's one thing. It's one thing to have the knowledge that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's one thing to know that he's the one we need to grip onto in times of hopelessness. It's another thing to actually let that message overwhelm our souls in a way that drowns out the noise, drowns out the hopelessness, drowns out the anxiety that we may be facing because of the bad news and the circumstances that we're in right now. We don't know what we're doing. And here's the thing. Like, it's one thing to say Jesus is worthy of our trust. It's another thing to say, I need to trust him. And part of the nonsensical nature, part of what doesn't make sense at this time is, how can we trust somebody who is either far away and feels so distant from us that he's not involved in our pain? Yet at the same time, others would say, how can we trust somebody who knows pain yet doesn't seem to have the power in the situation to deliver us? The theological terms for this is the transcendence and the immanence of God. God is requiring of us to grip onto both aspects of his nature found in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And that's why the final words, some of the final words that Jesus would say from the cross is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. And that's true. Because sometimes it's harder. And in this time, we begin to see just how foundational our Christianity is, just how strong that foundation is of understanding that what we actually need is a king who is all-powerful, but at the same time, his sacrifice on the cross. So let's go back to the scripture, because we find ourselves in this entrapment right now, right? Because empty religion is just not going to cut it. And so this high priest, the priest of religion at the time, confronts Jesus, and he stood up in the midst of everybody there in the court, and he asked Jesus, have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you? But I love Jesus' response, being non-responsive. He says, but he remained silent and made no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? We ask the question, why the silence? And the reason that I can find is that, you know, like in the times that we live in is trying to, we much like somebody who's trying to hear what somebody else is saying, you have to lean in towards them and their mouth so that you can hear what they're saying. I sense that God also wants us as the people of God to lean towards him, to be able to hear what he's saying in this moment. God, where are you? Why is this happening? Why do I have to be quarantined in my home? And for an introvert like me, this is paradise. But for some of you, this may not be paradise. You know, this may be actually quite hard. I'm just kidding. It's not paradise. It is tough, because there are aspects to life that we begin to realize actually get, the character that's within us gets put on blast. It actually shows itself. The ugliest parts of our character actually show themselves to surface at times of pressure. And so it's in the silence that we begin to see this ugliness start to surface. And the best place to take that is into the presence of the King and the cross. So let's move further in the scripture. And Jesus said, I am. Ooh. I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power. Notice the capital letter on power. Because power is personified in God. I don't want to say it's just personified, but it's part of his character. He is all powerful. He's omnipotent. And coming with the clouds of heaven. See, it's understanding that God is all powerful. When Jesus makes the statement, I am, it's more than just saying, yeah, I am. It's referring to Exodus, where we meet Moses confronting the burning bush, and he's asking, who should I tell them has given this message? And he and God says, I am that I am. What Jesus is referring to there is he's saying, I am God. I am deity. I am all powerful. And this is where the minds of those who are religious can't fathom, just can't understand that this man who is about to be arrested would claim to be all powerful, all knowing, all sufficient, because this is the God that they were presented with in the Torah, in the Old Testament. How could this vulnerable man be God at the same time? And this is a question that many of us would ask, because, you know, and what I mean by religion and being in the sense of empty religion, what I mean by this is ritualism in our Christianity that's completely empty, completely void of purpose. Like, religion is best described as rituals that are done over and over again without understanding. And Jesus is saying, no, that's not going to cut it right now. I am God, wrapped in human flesh. Now, I want you to catch this. This is what trips a lot of people out and just trying to wrap our minds around this. God is all powerful, yet he is fully human at that moment in Jesus Christ standing before them. The issue becomes, we want God to look like what we want him to be. Then the question also becomes to us, then who really is God? There's this old Fred Hammond song in the chorus. It simply sings, he's God. That's just the way it is. Couldn't have said it better. So before them is Jesus on trial, about to be beaten, scorned. Can you imagine that Jesus could have wiped them all out? He's all powerful. And watch the high priest. Watch what surfaces when they're under this sort of pressure. The religion just doesn't cut it. Like the high priest puts on a performance and he tears his garments and he says, what further witnesses do we need? He puts them on trial. The king's sacrifice makes no sense to the self-centered religious. This sacrifice that Jesus brings to us makes no sense if you operate in religion, in empty ritualism. If your belief in God is just empty rituals, just going to a venue on Sunday. In fact, I believe that God does this on purpose. He allows us to go through situations. I'm not saying that he is the author of this thing, but this virus that we're facing doesn't take him by surprise at all. He is sovereign. He knew this was coming. And I see him like Mark Sayers said earlier this week. Mark Sayers, a pastor in Melbourne, he said he was talking about how when like we battle the same thing here with our Wi-Fi signal here at my house, right? When it gets all buggy, what do? You go to the wall, you turn it off for 30 seconds, you let it reset so all the bugs can get out of it, and then you switch it back on so it completely resets and restarts with even new data that will help it to be more stable for when it's been reset. I believe God is doing a work in his church during these times where he's enabling all the bugs to come out of the surface so he can sweep them out so that the church, look, church may not look like what it looked like before this virus. I actually believe God's preparing his church to be a lot more aware of our neighbor, to be a lot more aware of relationships, to be a lot more aware of the ministry and the kingdom that God's called us to build if we'll just reset and allow God to use this moment to renew our minds to the way he wants us to build his kingdom. But see, if we work on empty religion, this sacrifice that a king would make, all powerful yet most vulnerable, makes absolutely no sense in a moment like this. The second aspect is, like, how can he blaspheme when he is God? And if you are stuck in religion, then you won't understand that he can't blaspheme himself because he is God. What an opportunity to come face to face with the living God and completely miss it because we're ritualistic in our Christianity. And the high priest says to him, you have heard this blasphemy. What is your decision? And they condemned him as deserving death. At any point in time, Jesus Christ could have been like, you know what? I'm laying a smackdown on y'all. I don't know about you, but if it was me, I probably would have been like this guy in the picture. Just like, forget y'all, I'm wiping you all out. And this is the dichotomy of Christ's sacrifice. Understanding that he's fully God, yet fully man at the same time. If you can embrace both natures of who he is, fully God, all powerful, all knowing, and yet at the same time he knows suffering, he knows depression, he knows what it's like to be under extreme anxiety. That is the God we can trust in to be our antidote for our spirit during this time. I'm reminded of Jeremy R. Treat and what he wrote in his book, The Crucified King. It says here, if Christ's work is divided neatly into two categories of humiliation and exaltation, with the cross being only in the state of humiliation, it is difficult to see how it could relate to the kingdom at all. If Christ's death is interpreted only in terms of his priestly office, then it would be difficult to connect the cross to the kingdom. There is a definite connection between the cross of Jesus and the establishment of his kingdom. I hope you're not missing this moment. God is inviting us. For you, if you're a believer in Christ today, God is actually initiating an opportunity for us to not go in the mode of just self-preservation. The natural tendency of humanity in moments like this is to go towards self-preservation. But what God would want to initiate in us in moments like this is community preservation. He wants to activate us out. But we can't do that on our own. See, we need the cross to understand the power of the amazing grace that's at work within us, so it works out of us. It flows into our streets, our neighborhoods. Look, I'm getting great testimonies from different people who have been activated to see how they can observe social distancing, yet at the same time, bring about blessing to their neighbors. And I believe that some of you are watching this. If you're a follower of Jesus, ask him to wash your soul with the gospel every day and ask him who's on his heart. I got a call from a mentor of mine, a pastor of mine, Pastor Sam Webb, about 3 days ago. And Pastor Sam lives in Hawaii, but he has a deep West Texas accent. And we got to catching up. I was just sharing with him what's been going on in my family. My family's been through a lot this week as well in our own personal circumstances. But, you know, got to talk to him about it, and he prayed with me. But one of the best pieces of advice that he gave me, and I wanted to share it with you as well this morning. He said, Nelly, you remember back in the day, I mean, my Texas accent is terrible. We started in Texas, we'll finish in Texas. You remember back in the day when we used to use telephones for what they were only designed to do before Angry Birds came along, before all. I know y'all are laughing at my Texas accent, right? This is my sacrifice in order to bring humor to you. But he said, there are people that may not watch this broadcast on Facebook Live because they don't know how to use Facebook. Shout out to my mom, right? My mom's in her mid-70s, and she's on Facebook more than me trying to pastor everybody on Facebook. I love my mom. But my mom is a rarity. There's not many people her age that know how to use Facebook. And he said to me, Nelly, why don't you use the telephone to call people who are not technically apt to be able to use technology and call them and encourage them? Ask God for a word, a prophetic word or a prophetic prayer that you might be able to pray over them, a verse, some encouragement for them, because right now they are the most susceptible to this virus, according to research, but they're also the most isolated because they're not connected in social media and in the forums that we have. That's my encouragement. That's one way you could start this connection that Christ would initiate in you. Jesus is still building his kingdom, and this coronavirus is not going to stop him building his kingdom. He is still the king of the kingdom, meaning he's all powerful, and you better believe he's got the power to wipe this coronavirus out. He's given us the wisdom of doctors and researchers and government officials. We pray for those who are on the front lines just facing this disease head on. But it'd be wrong for us to shrink back into our little caves and just wait for it to brush out, and so we can come back out again and try to do church in a ritualistic manner the way we did it before. Look, I'm telling you, God is activating the church even now to be able to be the vessels that will bring about his kingdom. N.T. Wright, my favorite New Testament scholar in the world right now, he said it this way: Jesus as kingdom bringer has been screened out of the church's dogmatic proclamation. You cannot screen the kingdom bringer, Jesus Christ, out of this proclamation. He is the proclamation. And so when we see this picture eventuate in Revelation chapter 5, we see this as the culmination of everything that has gone out throughout history, the enthronement of Jesus Christ. And it says here in verse 8, there's so much to read in this passage, but for time's sake, I'll just read these two verses. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. I prophesy over all the songwriters that are out there. It's time to write some new songs. Songs that don't have the frills of overproduced productions of songs. Like, God just wants to write psalms in the secret place that would echo in the hearts of those who are quarantined. There's a quarantine worship that God is releasing in this place. And they sang a new song saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." That's every one of us have been ransomed by the King, who was also the Lamb. The Lamb who was slain is the Lion of Judah. The King is also the sacrifice. This is the antidote that we'll be unwrapping and delving into from the scriptures over the next few weeks as we head towards the Easter weekend and beyond. It's time to refocus on the cross and the empty tomb. It's time to refocus on that which is truly the antidote in our situations. So I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to get into a time of discussion around this question. And you can discuss this question with those whom you're with in the home, but I would love to hear your comments as well on the comment thread. If you would like to just get on the chat or the comment thread, just share with us what God is showing you through this. But let me pray for you. God, I pray for those who are watching this, Lord God, that they would be encouraged to know that you are the antidote. And I know that right now we're trying to grip at certain things. Even this week, Lord God, thousands of people in Australia lost their jobs. And I know that's hundreds of thousands, if not millions, across the world that have lost their businesses, lost their jobs, lost their employment. They've lost the crag that they used to hold on to, Lord God, to pull themselves up on the cliff face of life. God, as things are uncertain as to what they're gripping onto, Father, I pray you show people today that you are the rock that we can trust in. You are the one that we can hold on to. You're the one that has us in the safety of your grip. And so, God, we bless you this morning. We thank you, God, that as we worship you, all fear has to leave. All anxiety has to subside. Lord, for those who have been battling anxiety right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just surrender the burden of anxiety, the burden of fear. Even, Lord, I just pray and come against the spirit of suicide right now in Jesus' name. For those who have been battling just immense senses of depression right now, you have to leave because we are holding on to the everlasting love of Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the exhortation that comes from the old hymn to turn our eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful grace, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in light of his glory and grace. Pray for grace. I pray for peace over every household that is watching this in Jesus' name. Amen. Look, I'm standing with you, okay? I know I can't see you in person. And again, I'm an introvert, but I miss hugging my church. I miss hugging my people. And so I'm sending you Wakanda hugs right now to all of my church family in Logan, in Central, and all over the world. As you're watching this, just know we love you. The Atingans love you. My church family here loves you. My team that's here, we love you. But we wanted to just take some time to discuss this question here. Here's the question. How will you respond and live each day knowing that the King of Majesty took upon the cross of suffering and death for you to have life and bring life? Now, let me unpack that question again. How will you respond and live each day knowing that the King of Majesty took upon the cross of suffering and death for you to have life and to bring life? Go ahead and take some time to discuss that.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.